Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The week ahead with CNBC on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. You're in the breakfast huddle this Monday morning. Elliot Danker, Manisha Tank and Ryan Huang joining you. It's time to check in on what's going to be happening this week.
Indeed. And as always, we turn to our friends from CNBC this morning. Our friend and star polo player, Rosanna Lockwood, helping us out. Ros, good morning.
Dropping me in it. I thought you might do that. Yeah, I do enjoy riding a horse on a Friday night here in Singapore. It is the way I develop steam.
Of course, we got to let everyone know that, you know, our friends are more than just journalists. All right, a lot of focus in recent months about the shortage of chips having ripple effects across various industries. In fact, we are expecting a virtual summit today happening between the White House, Google, Intel CEOs, all to discuss this chip supply chain shortage. What else do you know about it that you can share with us?
Yeah, not the type of chips that you can buy in a bag in 7-Eleven. worth remembering that this is semiconductor chips, which, of course, are a huge part of manufacturing of things like autos and tech as well. So we're keeping a close eye on this. And it's actually an issue that reared its head earlier this year. And it's as a result of the pandemic, of course. So a lot of demand for autos and cars actually went down during the pandemic last year in the US, which meant that automakers weren't requesting these chips from suppliers like TSMC here in Asia and also elsewhere around the world. So they basically turned the switch off. And they started focusing on manufacturing other types of chips that have better margins, the type of chips that go into devices like phones and computers. Well, now, with a bit of recovery happening worldwide and in the US, there are more demand for cars and vehicles. And this means they want chips again, because these chips go in things like the GPS systems in trucks and stuff like that. So what's happened now is there's a squeeze on the supply chain, because you can't really flip that switch back on and start manufacturing the other kind of chip immediately. It takes months sometimes to develop these things. So what's happening is the Biden administration has called a summit, and this is actually their second one. They did one back in February. They're having one today, virtual, of course, and there's going to be 19 top CEOs and executives from auto and tech companies in the US. They're going to sit around and talk about what they can do to address this issue, but plenty of specialists saying whatever you're looking at doing, it's not going to fix the short-term supply squeeze. Just to give you an idea, for example, GM and Ford actually temporarily idled some factories recently, and that GM shutdown alone was thought to affect around 10,000 workers in the US. They've got protections for their wages and things, but at the moment it's really critical when the US is trying to manage a full economic recovery from this pandemic that they don't have shocks to the system like this. So what's Biden planning to do? Well, he's earmarked around $50 billion of spending towards research and manufacturing facilities, and he basically wants to onshore some of this chip production in the US to make sure that the US isn't totally reliant on overseas manufacturers in the long term. But again, this is long-term fixing. What they're going to manage from this summit today, we'll have to wait for the outcomes, beyond just them saying, we need more chips, and TSMC and other chip providers saying, look, we're trying our best.
Okay, that's all very well, but you've now got me in the mood for proper good old chips, which are wrapped in some paper. Okay, so that is very forward-looking. Now let's look at something that's happened in the rearview mirror, so to speak. China slapping Alibaba with a $2.8 billion fine in an anti-monopoly probe, and the company held a conference call this morning. What's happening on this one?
Yeah, and I just heard you guys doing this in your Business Times update as well. It is a huge story. It's, all of us are covering it today. And what's interesting what it means long term in terms of the way that the Chinese authorities are clamping down on the tech giants. And whilst they want to encourage growth and they want companies like Alibaba to flourish, they want to ensure that the consumer is protected as well. And that, it's a good thing to look at from the outside. But as you mentioned, there's a record $2.8 billion fine for Alibaba. According to Chinese anti-monopoly law, actually, the fine could have been in a range of 1 to 10% of Alibaba's annual revenue. It represents about 4%. So it's kind of somewhere in the middle. And Alibaba itself has been, hosting this conference call and saying, our reporter in Hong Kong is just staying across the outcomes as we speak. But basically, they're saying it's a new starting point for the company. They accept the penalty. They'll file self-examination compliance reports going forward. So all in all, it could be a good thing for the industry in China. It means that the authorities are taking note and they're interested. It means consumers are protected as well. But again, what do you do when these enormous tech giants have so much crossover from things like health services, banking, messaging, entertainment, and retail? Do you just allow them to grow and see what happens, or do you cap them at some point? And this is what the Chinese authorities have decided to do over the weekend. So we stay watching this one very closely, and shares in Hong Kong, which we'll have to see how they perform when the markets open in around an hour's time, just under.
Watching CNBC's Rosanna Lockwood. Rosanna, we do have earnings season this week for investors to digest. Quite a bit of commentary that will come through from companies that will likely be around how they are coping with COVID-19. So on the COVID-19 front, what sort of picture are we getting so far?
Yeah, and this is, I mean, it's the ongoing story, isn't it? And you can't take your eyes off the virus at any point. And we like to think about it very broadly across the global picture, because while you've got vaccination programs steaming ahead in various parts of the world, like the UK and US especially, you've also got various countries battling waves of the virus driven by these sort of mutated strains. And health, of course, being the number one issue here worldwide, but it also dramatically impacts global economic recovery. And as you mentioned there, things like earnings for companies, so we'll have to see how badly they're affected this week. A lot more countries, especially Western countries, reopening now cautiously, and that means that we will see sort of a pickup in the services sector as well. But again, you have to look at things like India reporting 152,000 cases on Sunday, a real spread of the variant there, which is it's a terrible thing to watch. They've actually had to ban the export of the antiviral drug remdesivir, which they use for treatment in India, and vaccination ongoing there. And here in Asia as well, keep an eye on Japan, because Osaka seeing a rapid rise. They reported 918 new cases on Saturday, and the governor of that prefecture warned he might declare a new state of emergency. So it's just one to keep an eye on. And in the UK, I've mentioned already, but it's a big day for England to reopen. Pub gardens, al fresco, restaurants, shops, salons, they're all allowed to reopen again after 4 months. And, you know, infections have been falling rapidly. They're now at multi-month lows in the UK, thanks to these months of lockdowns, but they batter the economy. So Prime Minister Boris Johnson saying, look, Brits, you should enjoy your freedoms from today, but still be wary about the risks.
All right, we've been speaking with CNBC's Rosanna Lockwood. Ross, thanks so much for taking the time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you, you guys too. Take care.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.